540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 5 o'clock. Good afternoon. I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin Judicial Commission is rejecting several complaints against Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Janet Protasiewicz. The complaints allege some of her comments during her election campaign violated the state's Judicial Code of Ethics. The Judicial Commission's decision came in May, and Protasiewicz shared it with the Associated Press today. Some Republicans in the legislature are keen on impeaching Protasiewicz. Earlier today, Senator Van Wongard asked Commissioner Yolanda Anderson about justices and Wisconsin's open meetings law.
If four of the seven act without telling the other three, are there potential consequences for that? Any idea?
If there is a complaint filed with the Judicial Commission, that is a matter of discussion with the Judicial Commission. I cannot make a statement as to whether or not we'd be able to act on it unless there is a complaint before our body.
Okay. But if there's a complaint, you guys would look at that, right?
Yes.
Anderson was testifying at her confirmation hearing for a new term. Social media platforms are doing less these days to curb election misinformation. A bill in Congress aims to push back against misinformation's threat to democracy. Catherine Carley reports.
Backers of the Freedom to Vote Act say it would prohibit false statements about federal elections designed to prevent people from voting, including from the candidates themselves. Emma Steiner with Common Cause says disinformation can often be hard to spot.
A lot of times people fall for disinformation because it seems to confirm something they already believe, and that's where people get tripped up.
Steiner recommends people always refer to official sources for voting information, including Secretary of State's offices or local election boards. She says disinformation often increases after an election, before the final votes are even tallied. I'm Catherine Carley reporting.
A state wildlife area near Whitewater is about to double in size. More from Nate Wegehout.
The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is buying more than 1,800 acres of land in Jefferson County next to the Princes Point Wildlife Area. The agency will get to work right away restoring wetlands with the help of federal money. The new expanded wildlife area will be geared for duck hunting, paddling, and bird watching. There will also be opportunities for boating, canoeing, and hiking. Some areas could be open to the public in a matter of weeks. Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
It's the first day of school in much of Wisconsin. Fines may be going up for not stopping for a school bus. A bill in the legislature would raise fines to as high as $1,000. Right now, the highest fine is $300. The bill would also take 3 points off a driver's license. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
With the news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. A hopeful message for a new school year was part of the statements this morning from Milwaukee Public School Superintendent Keith Posley.
As we embark on another school year, I want us to be reminded of the potential within each student, within each classroom, and within all of the Milwaukee Public Schools.
The super was standing next to Governor Tony Evers and other leaders at the Maryland Avenue Montessori School this morning. MPS cut classes short today on the first day due to the heat. The Milwaukee County Zoo is seeking $22 million from the county's new budget for a rhino renovation. The zoo will contribute around $6 million, with the remaining funds expected to be covered by the county. Lake Michigan beaches in the northern part of the listening area have an advisory. Beaches in Sheboygan and Ozaukee counties are under a beach hazard statement through tomorrow morning. With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
The Brewers reboot against the Pirates. Good afternoon, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers and the Pirates face off again tonight at PNC Park, game time 5:35. Brandon Woodruff against Pittsburgh's Andre Jackson. The Brewers lost the series opener last night, 4-2 against the Pirates. After the game, Brewers starting pitcher Corbin Burns seemed to remember nearly every pitch he gave up. 4 runs on 7 hits, 2 home runs. Over 6 innings, including veteran Andrew McCutchen.
The double to McCutchen before was a changeup right down the middle. The next inning, they scored 2 runs. The curveball to Reynolds right down the middle. You know, mistake to McCutchen down the line, another slider right down the middle. So it was more about early on we were really good executing, getting stuff at the edges, getting swing and miss, putting hitters away when we got the two strikes, and then the second time through we got two strikes, we just left pitchers right in the middle of the plate and they hit them.
Brewers manager Craig Counsell on Burns' performance.
I mean, I thought he came out, you know, throwing the ball great. I thought it was really, really good. The mistakes he made, they did damage on his mistakes. So it was extra base hits, obviously a couple homers, and, you know, that's putting runs on the board quick. So that's what hurt him tonight.
And the Brewers' Freddie Peralta named National League Pitcher of the Month. Peralta on what made the difference for him in August.
I think for me, it's more like the way that I've been taking care of like myself and the situation that I've been in, that I can handle all those situations. It's awesome, and I've been feeling great and excited for see what's coming for us and for me.
College football, Duke stuns number 9th ranked Clemson last night, 28-7. Badgers head coach Luke Fickell is not happy with Air Force after they denied defensive back Michael Mack's request to transfer to Wisconsin, now under appeal.
I'm going to kind of hold my tongue to say anything about the Air Force Academy and how they've treated the kid, but we'll wait on what the NCAA, it's in their hands, and so kind of leave it at that.
Fickell on his subdued mood after Wisconsin beat Buffalo Saturday in the season opener.
I probably wasn't as fired up as maybe I needed to be. Deep down inside, I just felt like we were sloppy.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back. Hour two of the Tuesday that feels like a Monday edition of the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dom, we talked about some of the breaking news as we turn the hours here to the happier happy hour. Ex-Proud Boy leader Tario sentenced to 22 years for January 6th Capitol attack.
Damn.
That is the longest prison term so far handed out in the January 6th. He was convicted of seditious conspiracy, and he recruited a group of 200 that marched on the Capitol, though he wasn't in D.C. that day. So he was an orchestrator, but not on the ground. Yet he got 22 years. I wonder if Trump's team's looking at this today. A little of the coverage from the, not the Wall Street Journal, the Washington Post, my bad. Former Proud Boys leader Henry Enrique Tario, convicted of leading the group that one judge called the tip of the spear that allowed people to end up getting in the Capitol on January 6, 2021, was sentenced Tuesday to 22 years in prison. The longest sentence yet among the hundreds of convicted of disrupting the peaceful transfer of presidential power. 22 years, a long time for being a tourist.
Staying inside the velvet ropes, right, Senator Ron Johnson from Wisconsin?
Tario, 39, was convicted of seditious conspiracy and obstructing the congressional proceedings meant to confirm the 2020 presidential election as part of a riot. I don't prefer to use that term, Dom, but they use it here. A riot that the U.S. District Judge Timothy Kelly said last week broke America's long democratic tradition of peaceful transfers of power. Tario was the last of five Proud Boys to be sentenced after all were convicted in May following a 15-week trial. And Tario was arrested and convicted, even though he wasn't in D.C. on January 6th. He had been arrested in December 2020 after he burned a Black Lives Matter flag torn down from a D.C. church during the protest in the city following Donald Trump's defeat. He was banned from the city as a result. He's going to be staying there for a long time now, Dom.
A little more on this, Crudy. Prosecutors asked for a 33-year sentence for Tario, one of the most high-profile defendants who have gone to trial in the Capitol attack, but they also asked for 20 years or more for each of Tario's four defendants, and Kelly declined to impose such terms. The judge agreed that the convictions qualified as a terrorism under federal law and increased the federal sentencing guidelines for Tario, Nordine, Biggs, and Real, and Dominic Pozzola. But then he declined to sentence each defendant within the advisory sentencing ranges, saying repeatedly that, quote, the terrorism adjustment overstates your role in the offense. On the case of Nordine, who was an on-the-ground leader of the Proud Boys, in Tario's absence, Kelly imposed an 18-year term. That was the longest sentence given to any January 6th defendant so far, handed down to Oathkeepers Stuart Rhodes. Last week, another Proud Boy leader, Joseph Biggs, received a 17-year sentence, and Zachary Real received 15. Pozzola received 10.
Ouch. And it was confirmed to me, at least, you know, one of the texters confirmed, 85% of federal time must be spent in prison, although it was suggested a halfway house. You know, after a while, you could end up in a halfway house.
Tario apologized for his actions and those of the Proud Boys, saying police who defended the Capitol, some of whom were in the audience Tuesday, deserve nothing but praise, respect, and to be honored as the heroes they are. I am extremely
late for that sentiment.
I am extremely ashamed and disappointed. They were caused grief and suffering. He also said he had early doubts about whether the election was stolen, but kept them to himself. You know, quote, every medium I turned to told me my anger was justified. It wasn't. I do not think what happened that day was acceptable.
Was he flipping back and forth between Fox News and Truthy Social? I mean, even Trump had been banned from Twitter by then, right? By January 8th, the 2021. Where are you getting these reinforcing thoughts from? It is an echo chamber. You know who's still convinced that it was rigged and stolen? Peter Navarro. And, you know, he's going to trial this week as well, Don. Yeah. As the Post reports, Paul Dugan, Peter Navarro heads to trial with a gutted defense and mounting bills. You're going to have a lot of Trump people with that sort of a resume going forward. With former President Donald Trump now accused of 91 felonies and 4 historic indictments, the legal woes of his erstwhile senior trade advisor, Peter Navarro, have been reduced to a prosecutorial sideshow.
It's all a sideshow. It was always a sideshow.
Yet the 74-year-old economist, still a loud proponent of the stolen election falsehoods of his ex-boss, remains noteworthy in this sense, Dom, after right-wing provocateur Stephen Bannon, was convicted last summer of contempt of Congress. Navarro on Tuesday became the second top official in Trump's White House to face a criminal trial related to a scheme to undo Joe Biden's 2020 victory at the polls. And Navarro, who pled not guilty, said it's costing him plenty. Oh, I feel bad, Dom. My legal bills just went up another $500,000, he said last week as he departed the federal courthouse in D.C., having failed in his last-ditch attempt to have the case against him thrown out. Such is the price of defying a congressional subpoena. If the flouting leads to an indictment, as it did for Navarro, how do you feel bad for the guy? Go give testimony under oath and avoid the $500,000 and mounting legal bills. He's charged with 2 misdemeanor counts of contempt, each punishable by up to a year behind bars for refusing to provide testimony and documents to the since disbanded House Select Committee investigating the J6. Dom. Bannon, convicted of the same offenses in July of 22, was sentenced to 4 months in prison. Bannon is free pending the outcome of his appeal. Free Steve Bannon? Dominic, you going to help me on this?
There's a little bit more here. In media interviews and a 2021 memoir, Navarro has detailed what he said were his and Bannon's roles in a convoluted, many call it corrupt, effort to keep Trump in power by delaying and ultimately halting the formal count of electoral votes in Congress.
He actually went on Ari Melber and basically laid out the case against himself.
Before its televised hearings last year, the Select Committee wanted to know more about the plan, which, according to Navarro, had required Republicans to carry out a torturous series of legislative machinations to reverse Trump's defeat. It was a quote-unquote peaceful strategy, many called it harebrained, that failed, Navarro said, only because mobs of Trump supporters stormed the Capitol, disrupting the endeavor. Really? That was the disrupting part? Clad in a dark blue suit and scuffed black sneakers, Navarro, who almost always loquacious when the news cameras are around, strode to a gaggle of journalists outside the Elijah Barrett Perryman courthouse last week before holding forth on his case. He wanted to mention, for anybody watching this right now, the address of his defense fund's website. He slowly enunciated it twice. By the time the trial finishes, I expect those legal fees to hit $750,000, he continued. Rarely given to understatement, Navarro cast his legal fight with the Justice Department as an epic constitutional battle over the separation of powers between the legislative branch and the executive branch, which is probably going to the Supreme Court. Sure it is. He said that he declined to cooperate with the bipartisan committee because Trump, even though he was no longer president, broadly invoked executive privilege in conversations with him, instructing Navarro not to testify about matters the House committee was examining.
Don't be a rat, Peter.
In a blow to Navarro, U.S. District Judge Amit Mehta voiced skepticism about the purported conversations, which are uncorroborated, and ruled last week that Navarro cannot raise executive privilege as a defense in his trial. Uh-oh. The decision stripped him of his strongest argument for acquittal. Jury selection began Tuesday with four defense attorneys in the courtroom. The meter is running. Four? Damn! Do I look like a rich man? Navarro, a longtime academic with hawkish views on China trade, who joined the Trump administration at its outset and stayed until the tumultuous end, said last week. As photographers squatted and snapped, he clutched the lapels of his pinstripe jacket and held it open. This is the same suit I wore in 2017 going into the White House, okay? Hey, you and me both, man. I got one suit. Behind him, shuffling ever closer, a 38-year-old heckler who goes by Anarchy Princess waved a poster-sized placard declaring, "Trump lost, and you know it." When the sign brushed Navarro's shoulders, he stopped talking, spun to his left, tried grabbing it, but Anarchy Princess wouldn't let go. "Bro," she scolded him, "you're already facing charges. Go ahead and commit another crime." Navarro, with a wooden smile, turned back to the microphones. "Here's the thing. If you look at the partisan nature of what's Trump lost, Trump to prison," Anarchy Princess interrupted. He continued, "the partisan nature of what's going on, you can understand the partisan nature of," he put it this way, "it's the use and abuse of our legal system to punish political rivals. And one of the ways they try to do this, they try to put you in prison, which they're trying to do with me, but it's also to bankrupt you, okay? I would just suggest that perhaps if you don't have the bankroll to be paying $750,000 for attorneys, maybe do a little less criming. But, you know, I'm just a small-time guy. I'm not a big shot like Navarro or Trump or Enrique Tarrio. 22 years, sucker."
One more related story, Dom. Jenna Ellis, you remember her. Taking into account former Donald Trump lawyer Jenna Ellis's highly publicized griping that Donald Trump and his pack have given her the cold shoulder when it comes to paying her legal fees as a racketeering co-conspirator in Georgia. One former prosecutor claimed that it makes her a prime candidate to flip on the former president. According to a report from Newsweek's Ewan Palmer, Trump's greatest concern as he faces off with Fulton County DA Fani Willis is that Jenna Ellis, makes a plea deal now that she is faced with the possibility of legal fees that could run into the high six figures. I bet she's not a rich woman either, Dom. Representing Trump never paid well.
No, man. Everything Trump touches dies. And I think there's going to be a lot of rolling and flipping and pointing of the fingers because, it costs a lot of money to defend yourself, especially when you have four attorneys in federal court.
Well, don't they plan on having trial in October? You better hurry up and plead. Come back. More Devil's Advocates. You can join us. Hurry up and dial 844-967-2789.
Uh-oh, did a rock hit your windshield from that semi? Don't worry, Autoglass Now offers fast, reliable, and convenient service. For a limited time only, Autoglass Now is offering 50% off windshield replacement. Call your local Autoglass Now today for full details.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour,
if you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind,
walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that.
Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Scattered thunderstorms likely tonight. Otherwise, cloudy skies expected. Lows level off around 69. Southerly winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. Scattered thunderstorms likely. Daytime highs approaching 82. Chance for scattered thunderstorms again tomorrow night. Lows level off around 58. Overcast skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 82 degrees.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
I don't know if you know the Devil's Advocates, but the show is kind of a big deal.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You are always welcome here at 844-967-2789.
John, before we get back to the phones and our fair audience, people like Dana in God's country, hold tight, Dana. You pointed out to me, Dom, there's investigations of the, let's call it the fundraising on the stolen election concept, the big grift, Dom. Jack Smith is seeking evidence of a big grift from Trump's stolen election claims. It's always been time to follow the money, Dom. Trump's raised $250 million. If that's not wire fraud, I don't know what is.
That's a lot of money, man.
You know, I think we should get a new line of work. If they think that's kosher, we're getting in the stolen election business. The lead investigator for the House Select Committee that's investigating attempts to overthrow the 2020 election results thinks special counsel Jack Smith is now examining attempts to make money off the fraud. Speaking to Nicole Wallace today, Tim Hapfi related suspected financial dealings based on claims the election was stolen to the operation that was selling snake oil. He's looking for more evidence of the big grift, he explained. We laid this out in great detail during one or more of our hearings, and it is outlined in the report. A lot of people were profiting from the false narrative the election was stolen. Save America PAC raised $250 million after the election by telling people the election was stolen. Sidney Pell set up a nonprofit and legal defense fund in which those same lies led to a lot of people giving money. Wallace played a clip of the House Committee's hearing showing screen captures of over 25 email solicitations the Trump campaign sent out in a single day. I had to block the Trump campaign there for a while, Dom. There was also an American First Foundation, which raised money and was hired many of the former Trump staff. Again, here's a quote, Dom. Again, it is important to remember that there is no foundation in any of these fundraising solicitations. So Jack Smith is understandably interested in that because it could be a fraud scheme, right? Telling people as a basis to raise money that facts that are just simply not appropriate, and it is part of a broader plan to disrupt the joint session. Is that a crime, Dom?
Absolutely, it's a crime. Wallace asked what the potential criminal exposure is for raising funds off of false pretenses. She specifically cited possible wire fraud. He agreed, but specified a scheme to defraud. Quote, if somebody says, if you drink this potion, you'll lose weight, and people buy the potion, relying on that representation, that's fraud, right? If somebody says, if you give me money, I'll use it to do the following. I'll give it to refugee settlement in our community. But you don't use it for refugee settlement. You use it for other purposes beyond that which you indicated. That is fraud. Wire fraud, mail fraud, are crimes that broadly criminalize any scheme that is meant to deprive people of their money based on deception, based on falsity. That's one of the many things the special counsel may very well be looking at. He also said that this part of the probe is still considered active. I would hope so. Just because an indictment is issued does not mean that everybody stops and the record is complete, right? The special counsel is continuing to gather facts. It is tricky because he wants a speedy trial, and if there is a superseding indictment or additional counts against the former president, it jeopardizes that March 4th trial date. This could mean something that will come about if it ripens into evidence of control conduct, which it very well may, to other charges against other people. You know that Trump was the suspected head of the conspiracy, but there are many others who have not yet been federally charged, so Smith is persisting. And they got the same deal along with the Kraken lady, Sidney Powell, using her money in the same kind of a deal, setting up this nonprofit, this legal defense fund, and raising all sorts of money off it. I mean, this is also seeming to me, Curdy, like a low-hanging fruit, a no-brainer. I mean, 25 emails in one day, you know, I mean, wow. But what do? They struck while the iron was hot. I mean, why wouldn't you? If you're sending out emails and you're getting millions of dollars, you know what I do? I send out more emails, get more money, you know, until there's a saturation point. At that point, I mean, so what, $250 million later? And that's that. I mean, is that it? No, that was a number we heard of a long time ago. I can't imagine it has stayed at that level.
If you got that much money burning a hole in your pocket, please send a check care of the Devil's Advocates, but make it out to cash.
Bring cash, a duffel bag of cash.
We will spend that money.
We will.
Bar tab or otherwise, we'll find a use.
We'll spend it as you would want us to spend it, as you would expect us to spend it.
As we would expect us to spend it. 844-967-2789. Appreciate your patience, Dana. Welcome back. How's it going in lacrosse,
hey,
buddy?
Hey, Dana.
Happy Tuesday, Devils. Feels like an effing Monday, but happy Tuesday. Yeah, and the check's in the mail, Curdy.
Yeah.
It's just so fun watching this. It's like Stephanie Miller said, it's just a big bag of rats, and they're all just gnawing on each other. You know, Curdy, one other thing that they could be going after for Trump money. Now, I read this morning, he was selling the mugshot, mugs and T-shirts, raised over $7 million on that, and they're saying, if Georgia wanted to, because that's their property and he made money off of it, they could go after that money and maybe clean up that jail he might spend a little time in.
Right. I mean, the point being is that would be a copyright violation. They own that picture. Exactly. That is Fulton County's picture. It's a picture of Trump, but while he was in custody, that's their picture. Do you think they'll do it, Dana? If that's the case, I would absolutely encourage them. What do you think?
I certainly encourage it, but I don't think they will. Hey, Dom, I wanted to go back also to what you were talking about when you were talking about what Peter Navarro said, where he says all the excuses and the tactics that the Democrats are using. The one key one that you pointed out was, then they try to break you. Well, that's exactly what Trump does to all of his contractors. Over the years, he'll file bankruptcy or not pay them, and then break them through court costs until they just give up. So I think that's where Peter Navarro is speaking from. These guys are always projecting, and they think everything they're doing, the other side's doing as well, and that's why they don't think this is all a big deal. It's really quite amazing.
Dana, I appreciate you listening to God's Country to the Eagle, 1490 AM. Come back more. Devil's Advocates.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM.
Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM.
This is The Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. More than half the country is sweating it out right now from extreme heat. Weather Channel meteorologist Stephanie Abrams.
Wednesday and also into our Thursday, we're going to stay 10 to 15 degrees above average here along the I-95 corridor.
Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton faces dozens of impeachment charges. A clerk read them out today in the state Senate.
While holding office as Attorney General, Warren Kenneth Paxton violated the duties of his office by failing to act as public protector of charitable organizations.
He's accused of taking bribes and other misconduct. Paxton denies it. And prosecutors want former Proud Boys leader Enrique Tarrio to get 33 years in prison for planning the Capitol attacks on January 6th. But he could get less. Legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
Nearly all of the principal leaders of the January 6th rampage have been convicted of seditious conspiracy, with sentences ranging between 10 to 18 years.
CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
With the news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Parents of kids in Waukesha Public Schools may not be able to get a routine going until buses start running right. The first day of school today was preceded by the school district saying there aren't enough bus drivers. The issue has persisted in Waukesha and other areas prior to the current academic year. The district released a statement to parents last night indicating that they are actively seeking drivers to cover 9 bus routes. About 50 United Steelworker members are being impacted by the closure of a West Milwaukee plant. Regal Rexnord intends to shut down its West Milwaukee operation in early November. A press release says the reasons for the shutdown include the facility's deterioration and relatively low production levels. Regal Rexnord acquired the industrial business in October of 2021, aiming for cost savings. With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
Experience Nightlight, September 8th and 9th from 5 until 10:30 p.m. Presented by Joy Engine. The dazzling spectacle is an immersive 4D light festival taking place in Milwaukee's historic Mitchell Street neighborhood. Digital animations, dance, music, art, and fashion combine to create a visual, family-friendly sensory experience outside of 710 West Historic Mitchell Street, home of Mitchell Street Arts. The event is family-friendly and free to the public. Don't miss this iconic event. Nightlight, where art comes to life. Information at joyengine.org. The Todd Alba Show.
I see the silhouette of Todd Alba, who still hasn't figured out that maybe a TV person could help, you know, set this whole thing up.
For whatever reason, yeah. StreamYard's video is just deciding that the room is too bright.
When has Todd Alba been accused of being too bright? I mean, really there? I'm like, where's Aaron with the rim shot?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Wisconsin traditions have been built for years around the Badgers, game day, and the mascot. But lead miners are the original Badgers in the state, not the animal or the mascot. It was the 1820s, and the miners often didn't have shelter in the winters, so they lived like Badgers by digging tunnels into the hillsides to stay warm and sleep where they worked. It led to the reason why today you really can't think of Wisconsin without thinking Badgers. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Warning, listening to the Devil's Advocates may expose you to opposing views.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, rolling through the happy hour. Tuesday, that kind of feels like a Monday. Back to work. Long weekend's over.
Oh, man. Summer is over, but it's a short week. We'll be all right.
We're going to get a little more summer. I feel quite confident. The kids are in school, but the rest of us, our summer starts right now, yeah, as far as I'm right concerned.
Now the celebration truly begins.
Dom, you know, you and I are going to have to get a little serious about planning like a late summer loving tour. Gonna have to do a little tour, and
it's gonna be the fall tour, man. I mean, we're gonna be fall now,
you know,
fall in love tour, baby.
Fall in love with the Devil's Advocates. 844-967-2789. Kathy calling from Willie Street. How you doing, Kathy?
Hey, Kathy.
Well, just great. Thanks so much for taking my call. I listen to you all the time. I love you guys.
Thank you.
I was thinking about the sentencing of the Proud Boys and such, that, you know, certain judges have recommended, and then like 30 years, and then they're only getting 15 or whatever. And I'm thinking the judges are afraid to sentence these guys to too much, because if they sentence these guys to whatever, what are they going to sentence Trump to? He has the ringleader of the whole affair. you know? I mean,
yeah. Right. Well, Kathy, they asked for what, 33 years they asked
yeah,
for
something
with,
like that.
And gave them 22. So you got 2/3 of what the DOJ asked
right,
for.
Right, right. And they're like, what are we going
to do? I tell you what, Kathy, I'll take the win. I'll take the
2/3 win. 2/3 is more than half, Kathy.
I mean, 22 years is a long time. That's a long time.
Well, any time would be better than nothing. He's got to do some time somewhere, and how the heck he's going to do that, who knows? I mean, oh, my God. It's a challenge, this whole nasty affair. So thanks for taking my call. Just
no, thank you,
keep
Kelly.
Up the good work. I don't know what else to say at the moment. I always have stuff on my list, you know.
Appreciate it, Kathy. Sort of a long Wisconsin goodbye, but that's okay.
That's how we do it around here, man.
844-967-2789. No
there
problem.
Have, you know, there's some of these, if what, like 33 years or 20, you know, getting, you know, 10 instead of 15, those kinds of things. Yes. I mean, I'd like to see, you know, the book thrown at them. But 22 years, man, that's a long, long time.
22 years, 85% of that. So what's that? 17 plus, you know, like 19 years. Dude, we've been doing 85%? The Devil's Advocates 12 working on 13.
18, almost 19 years. Almost
that 19. He would have to spend in prison to serve a 22-year term.
Yeah.
See, that's a little back of the
envelope
math.
That's a long time.
844-967-2789. No, Wisconsin Knights. Nice. It's Dynamo Dave from Duluth. How you doing, Dave?
Hey, Dave.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you guys doing?
Man,
awesome day.
Rested.
Welcome.
Tan, only have one belly button, unlike Scott Walker.
Hey, I don't know, you guys see the Atlantic magazine on August 19th, they had an article about how Trump constitutionally can't run for president again. And I didn't read the article because you got to have a subscription there. I paid a little. But I was thinking, and they're saying it's two conservative constitutional lawyers saying this. And so I was just wondering, maybe you guys would want to look into having one of those people as a guest.
We've had some of these conversations before, Dave, and, you know, there have been a number of lawsuits trying to preemptively block people from appearing on ballots. Everyone from Marjorie Taylor Greene to the Minocqua Brewing Company's effort to keep Ron Johnson off the ballot to Madison Cawthorn to, you know, now the effort to remove Trump, Dynamo Dave. But here's the problem. Until you got a conviction, it's going to be hard to utilize the 14th Amendment. I'm not saying it's not there for a reason, but if there's no prior conviction, it's going to be hard to keep them off the ballot. We saw that. Marjorie Taylor Greene used James Bopp, a Wisconsin-connected attorney, as her representation. She was on the ballot. She got reelected. So I don't know if that's the magic bullet or the magic beans. Thanks, Dave. Got loud word Dave's ad, apparently.
Yes, I don't. I mean, we don't know until we try, until somebody tries, and how's the standing?
Well, I'm not discouraging the effort.
Files that? No, of course. I mean, I was engaged. You can't deny the fact that he was engaged in this effort. He was part of this effort. Now,
best thing that could happen for Republicans is that Trump is blocked from the ballot. Why? Because then they'd have all this ginned up sentiment. He was robbed, but they'd have to direct it towards another candidate who's less likely to spend the rest of his life in federal prison. But, you know, these Republicans, I am quite convinced this is going to be the election of their discontent. This is going to be a blue wave, not because American sentiment. I mean, over the weekend, new polling came out. Trump and Biden, head-to-head, dead even. One guy is indicted 91 times. The other guy has got a near-do-well son. But it's all same-same, right? They're just the same. But I don't believe that. I think when the rubber hits the road and the election actually comes around, the American people turn out to vote against Donald Trump in record numbers. I think Donald Trump's going to lose by 20 million votes. And everyone up and down that ticket, every Republican is going to wear that albatross, wear that it's not quite a scarlet letter, sort of a pumpkin spice.
Well, and hence
tea on their chest.
The Wisconsin GOP has been unable to recruit anybody to run against Tammy Baldwin.
It's always Sheriff David A. Clark Jr. He's waiting in the wings, Tom.
It's pitchforks and torches time in America. 844-967-2789. Against my better judgment, CJ, you are up. Welcome, CJ. What do you got for us today?
Morning, gentlemen. Hope you had a good weekend.
Morning.
Good afternoon, CJ.
Where are you at, man? Well,
come on, man. You lived a good life, brother.
Depends on what time you got up. But, hey, I want to be some actual news for you guys. The subpoena of Mayorkas for what did he notify the Bidens about Hunter's tax claims? So Mayorkas is going to be subpoenaed. And
I'll go look on Fox News Digital, but I'm gonna disclose to you. I haven't been on the Foxy News yet today, CJ. So this counter news that you bring to us,
you need Fox News.
Yes.
Isn't it sad you need Fox News to actually
get the news? It is sad
that
there's this whole counter narrative in our nation, and despite the investigation, like the Durham after investigation that falls flat of the Bidens, they continue to run them out. They continue to utilize Fox News and right wing media, and you take it hook, line, and sinker, CJ.
The mere fact that, it's not like the Biden family has been forthcoming. He uses aliases and nine grandkids.
Aliases on emails, dude, and grandkids? Come on. This is, dude, how many different aliens? Have you ever been, your real name's not CJ, dude. You're using an alias right now.
You've disclosed my name many times, Trudy, so that's okay.
CJ, let me ask you, and thank you for bringing that to our audience's attention. I'm sure they're going to run right out to Fox News, and
Mayorkas subpoena
talking about it when an indictment falls, like four indictments, 91 charges against your former guy. And we talked about the family and his kids making millions and millions of dollars while actually working in the White House, but neither here nor there, CJ. Let's talk about Enrico Tarrio, man, the Proud Boys, 22 years. What's your comment on that sentencing and the Proud Boys and their efforts of seditious conspiracy? Do you think it is justified, or do you think that is also a political witch hunt?
I believe they're being punished for the wrongdoing they did. Whether it's excessive or not, that's questionable, because there is two tiers of justice today, as we see with the Biden justice.
I knew you'd get back there, man. It just took you a minute.
CJ, what harm do you, so they've been convicted of a seditious conspiracy. Do you believe and accept the jury's decision on that? That's the crime they were charged with. That's what the jury convicted them on. Do you accept that verdict, CJ?
I don't believe that all the evidence, like the 11,000 hours.
Enrico Tarrio. We're talking about Tarrio. We're talking about the Proud Boys leader right now, CJ.
I don't think we saw all the evidence. I didn't watch the whole trial. Obviously, he did wrongdoing, but, the mere fact that justice is even, we're finding that out not to be true.
CJ, so, I want to pivot on you for a change. Can I ask you a policy question? Seriously.
Sure.
Under Joe Biden, we are now negotiating drug costs with these big drug companies on behalf of Medicare recipients. Do you think that's good policy or bad policy?
I think that's spectacular. So it's a long time overdue, but, it obviously took people reaching across the aisle, which I think Republicans more apt to do than the Democrats.
Well, but, I will take your assessment. So what you're saying, if I understand you, CJ, is the accomplishment of Joe Biden, and Obama didn't do that, and Trump didn't do that, and there were a lot of prior presidents that never negotiated drug prices with the big drug companies. And of course, they're now suing the Biden administration. There's some claim, one of these drug companies, I was just reading the article, They say it's unconstitutional. It's like stealing from them to negotiate with them.
Come on, man.
Well, there are 537,000 Medicare recipients that are on one particular heart medication that the Biden administration said will be one of the first 10 drugs that they go and try to change the outcomes on. They're going to effectively negotiate the drug prices.
I mean, unconstitutional. If I come to the table with 500,000 customers, I don't think I'm going to be paying the same price as someone who comes to the table with two customers.
But that's the way it's always been, Dom.
Where has it always been? Maybe in the pharmaceutical world when you're sticking it to Uncle Sam because you can. And I agree with you on this one, CJ. I mean, the purchasing power and the buying and the ability of we the people through our government to allow and continue to accept drug companies to stick it to Medicare and Medicaid recipients because, oh, let me check my notes. It's always been that way is absolutely ridiculous. You want to talk about, you know, capitalism and free market systems. If I got a 500,000 people wanting to buy your thing, I'm pretty sure I'm going to get a better deal than if I just got 10. Just saying. 844-967-2789.
It's almost like you think there should be a volume discount, Tom.
Is that what it is? Economies of scale. I remember something about that in business school.
Well, here's what I would say. We just had our very conservative, often trolly friend CJ admit that he thinks this is good policy long overdue. And I would just ask the question, who delivered? If you say it's bipartisan, I'll agree with you. I haven't looked into all the details, but let's assume there's support, bipartisan support of this, CJ. Who delivered that bipartisan support? Who got this done? You know, at the end of the day, the guy can't be, you know, a great negotiator, outsmarting people all the time, and also be so feeble and old and, you know, incapable of getting out a sentence, right?
But totally capable of running a conspiracy over hundreds of millions of dollars or shifted to your family. They can hide
through shell corporations and aliases.
And different email aliases. Yes, yes. That's the same guy.
I think it's like the alias Mike Pence uses on his AOL account on Mother's Keeper. Yeah. Not69.com.
Anthony Weiner have like an alias Twitter feed. Wasn't he into something like that too? I mean, come on.
Can we not analogize the current president with Carlos Danger? I mean, some people just have multiple email accounts. I didn't have good sense to have an email alias. Accounts.
Most of them say something about Dom in them. I'm just saying.
Someone asked on the text line, is your wife a beautiful newscaster? And she is pretty. But that ain't the same Salvia. Come back. More Devil's Advocates. You can be a part. 844-96-PARTY.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
UPS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Overcast skies tonight with scattered thunderstorms likely. Lows level off around 69. Southerly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy skies tomorrow. Scattered thunderstorms likely. Highs level off around 82. Chance for scattered thunderstorms tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 58. Cloudy skies expected. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Hite. Currently, it's 82 degrees.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Malarkey. The Devil's Advocates invented malarkey.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show, our last segment of the day. If you have something to say, hit us up right now at 844-967-2789. Of course, stay tuned. The Maggie Dawn Show coming up at 6.
Dom, I wanted to throw a little policy out there. The negotiation of drug prices. And you know that is happening because of the Inflation Reduction Act, the IRA Act that Joe Biden came, celebrated 1 year. That was like 2 weeks ago. Joe Biden celebrated. So it's been about a year and 2 weeks. As we asked CJ, the, you know, well-known network-wide troll and conservative, CJ.
Internationally known to rock the microphone.
CJ said, this is great policy, long overdue. He neglects the ad delivered by Joe Biden, but he did say it in a bipartisan fashion. Again, credit be given to Joe Biden, please. But of course, we won't hear that from CJ. But our friend Jeff said, would you think that good policy or great policy? I think it's great policy, Jeff. I got a short piece here, and then we'll get back to the phones at 844-967-2789. Your final chance to have a hot take today. Neera Tanden with the Biden administration had this to say over the weekend, according to the Politico. White House domestic policy advisor Neera Tanden said Sunday that she's convinced that the Inflation Reduction Act's Medicare drug price negotiation program will be upheld in court because everybody's suing, Dom. From the right, I read on. Speaking on the Katie Fang show on MSNBC, Tanden said, there is nothing in the Constitution that stops Medicare from negotiating drug prices. Seems obvious, but she had to say it. We feel very strongly about our ability to win these lawsuits because this is just a basic principle. On Tuesday, the federal government announced the first 10 drugs that will be subject to price negotiations between Medicare and the pharmaceutical companies, including drugs that treat diabetes, heart failure, and blood clots. All seem very vital, Dom. But drug makers and trade associations have filed multiple lawsuits challenging the programs, which is designed to lower costs for Medicare patients and probably profit margins as well, Dom.
Well, I mean, of course, that's what the issue is. And they load up and we pay more here than they sell the same drugs overseas, man. We got to stop being the suckers here. And absolutely think all these should be negotiated. Why wouldn't they be?
Again, the Biden administration's Neera Tanden. Everybody negotiates prices. What the pharmaceutical companies are doing are they're going to the courts to ensure they can charge any price they can get away with. And that's wrong. Tanden said she expects the program to be expanded with 15 or 20 drugs added in future installments. It's really important to remember that for medications that aren't on this list, they may be on future lists. She said, noting that prices have been lowered already for insulin. That's something else Joe Biden delivered. Right, CJ? Insulin caps, negotiated drug prices. Seems like common sense. Bipartisan support, according to our own conservative trolls. Thank you, Joe Biden.
And what would the conservatives have otherwise? A fixed market where the suppliers, you know, force their prices down, you know, the throats of the consumers.
Well, and right?
That's
not forget
what, because you can what? Maximize your profitability, because that's really, really all it's about. But if there is, I mean, who's buying more of these drugs than the U.S. government? I mean, for real. I mean, if you have someone, if you have a half a million people, right? Nobody is. How do you not negotiate that? How do you say as a Republican, as a conservative, unless you got stock in it? And I get it, man. If you've got a monopoly on something, you
hey, let's not talk about Nancy Pelosi for a minute.
Money as you possibly can. I mean, that's the American way, right? Until you come up against, you know, the consumers who can also demand their own prices. They can negotiate. All right, you don't want to sell us this? All right. Then you no longer have access to our market. Good luck with that. Let's see what happens to the price then when you lose 500,000 people that were one time buying your product.
Didn't he?
It's going to go very well for you.
Pharma bro Martin Scarelli buy up the Wu-Tang Clan's music catalog. Nate's nodding yes. We can't even have access to good music, Dom, under the policies of these pharmaceutical companies. 844-967-2789. Our pal Wisco Paul. How you doing, Paul?
Hey, Paulie.
Hey, good afternoon, Devils. You know what? I can't say enough good things about your radio station and all the stations you bought up because you can get the truth out there. I actually get the truth out there, which is a step in the right direction. And as far as the drug program, it's a big win for Biden. I know if you have Plan D and Medicare, there was drugs that were Tier 3s and 4s, which you pay a premium price for, and they're going to be lowered to Tiers 1 and 2. So if it's a 1, you don't pay anything, and a 2, maybe $10. So it is a big, big deal for seniors, and it's a great I don't know if it was bipartisan or not, but whatever it was a huge, huge step in the right direction, especially for seniors. And I think it'll be I think that'll help everybody in the end. So it's pretty. You know what? Biden is not perfect. Nobody is. Not everything he does is perfect, but he's did several things that have just helped his country so much. Infrastructure is a big thing, you know, and here in Wisconsin, we get some of that too after Walker destroyed it. So I had to invoke his name here quick, Crudy. But anyway, you guys are doing a great job. And your stations, I can't say enough good things about it because we've lost a lot of local newspapers in this state. And you guys bring that to the table also, local news, sports, weather, the whole nine yards. I don't want to give you too big a heads, but anyway, I'm on your side. Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
Thanks, save Paul. The compliments. Send Spotted Cow. 844-967-2789. R. Fine. Follow up. Yes.
I just want to throw this out there. According to the White House, it's jumped on here quick. Every single Republican in Congress voted against the Inflation Reduction Act.
Thank you for that point of clarity. Not exactly bipartisan, CJ.
Not exactly. No.
Maggie Dawn, you have Wu-Tang info. Please update the audience.
Yeah.
Hey, Maggie.
Hey, guys. Like, as a Wu-Tang fan, I couldn't let any misinformation about the Wu get out there. So,
right.
Martin Scarelli did not buy their catalog. He bought an unreleased album. Called Once Upon a Time in Shaolin or like Last Night in Shaolin. And literally they made one of these albums. They recorded it over 2 years. It was like ensconced in this beautiful box and he bought it basically at an anonymous auction. Well, he was then forced to basically turn it over to the U.S. government. When he was convicted for securities fraud, they got to liquidate his assets. So Once Upon a Time in Shaolin, which has no digital copies, it is not available anywhere except in this one album cut, was then auctioned by the U.S. government and was purchased by an anonymous buyer. So there's your Wu-Tang facts.
Tell me it was you, Maggie. You bought the album.
I wish it was, man. That would be so sweet, but that's a little bit above my pay grade. Thanks, guys.
Thanks,
making radio money. Can't believe you can't buy unreleased albums. Maggie Dawn Show is next. Stick around for that. Then Busted Pencils. Keep it locked, Civic Media.
Experience Nightlight, September 8th and 9th from 5 until 10:30 p.m. Presented by Joy Engine. The dazzling spectacle is an immersive 4D light festival taking place in Milwaukee's historic Mitchell Street neighborhood. Digital animations, dance, music, art, and fashion combine to create a visual, family-friendly sensory experience outside of 710 West Historic Mitchell Street, home of Mitchell Street Arts. The event is family-friendly and free to the public. Don't miss this iconic event. Nightlight, where art comes to life. Information at joyengine.org.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.